All right, so Dodgers will be home and facing Arizona in an exhibition game on Sunday, Monday against Arizona, exhibition, and then a Tuesday game against the Angels. That's an exhibition game. And then a week from Thursday, they will open against the San Francisco Giants at Dodger Stadium. Clayton Kershaw is going to get the start for the Dodgers. I'm assuming it'll be either Jeff Samardzija or Johnny Cueto for the awful, awful Giants. It's really good, by the way, that the Dodgers, because this year getting off to a good start is a big deal. Opening with four against the Giants is really, really good for them. Gives them a chance to get off to a good start. Now,
well,
the Dodgers...
I've pointed out before, Mace, that remember, they're only playing nine opponents in these 60 games.
Yes.
Nine, because they made it like geographically based. And of the nine, six of those teams, including the Giants, had losing records last year.
Yes.
The only teams they're playing this season that had winning records a year ago are the Astros, the A's, and is it the Diamondbacks?
Diamondbacks, yes.
Yeah, every other team was bad last year, so they got to cash in when they've got those games.
Yeah, no question. All right, so the Dodgers are the latest team. This is courtesy Bill Shaken, who was with us a little bit earlier, to join the cutout craze. So the deal is you submit a photo, and the team will then turn it into a cutout and display it in a seat all season long. And if the camera locks in on just the right spot, you could see your face at a game while you watch it on television. John, are you up for this?
Well, if you want to do it as a show, I'll do it with you. But this has Mason written all over it.
Oh, I'm so on this.
Yeah, I think you should get a cutout of yourself with a headband that says SteveMason.com.
That's
and
a
you
very
should
good
buy
idea.
Two seats, so it looks like twins sitting next to each other that just says SteveMason.com across their head.
Because so, you can't miss that.
So
I wonder if they're putting a limit on like advertising stuff, you know?
Now,
that's
they
a
said
very good question.
Bill said you can't do anything that would be considered derogatory to another team. But I still think we can creatively troll the Astros. Like, for example.
Like Trevor Bauer's shirt that he wore.
What did his shirt say?
Oh, let's see. I'll tweet it out.
Here's what I'm thinking. How about we get a cutout of Mike Fiers and put it right behind home plate? That's a little bit of a troll on the Astros, right? Since he's
the
one that blew the whistle on all those guys. What if we put, like, you know how when sometimes you'll see a cutout of somebody in a bar?
Yeah, right.
That you draw on the face to give him a handlebar mustache to make it look all goofy. What if we like took Alex Bregman, put him behind the plate, and then disfigured his face?
Now you're getting into some sketchy territory.
Do you think that's too?
Yeah, that's
violates
two,
the spirit
I
of the
think.
Rule.
Yeah, I think that's okay. Too. By the way, all the proceeds for this go to the Dodgers Foundation too. So that's a positive, and it does mean, I think, that this would be a tax-deductible purchase. Because it's expensive. Mm-hmm. It's $299 for a cutout
in
the good seats.
If you compare it to, like, San Francisco and Oakland, they're less than, like, $100. So if it's going to a nonprofit organization, then why is it so expensive?
They want to raise more money for the nonprofit?
I don't know. I just feel like there might be more people willing to buy it at a lower price.
Well, there's $149 cutouts. Those will be on the field and loge levels. And then there'll be $299 cutouts in the seats most likely to be seen on television. Dugout club, behind home plate, the new home run seats immediately behind the outfield wall. I want the Mary Hart seat. If they give me I would pay more for the Mary Hart seat. So that all game long, because let's face it.
You don't think Mary Hart's going to be in the Mary Hart seat?
Well, no, she's not personally going to be
no,
there.
No, but I mean her cutout.
I don't know. Isn't Mary Hart too dignified to buy a cutout of herself?
She just emceed that rally in South Dakota. What does dignified mean? I mean, that doesn't mean she sits there for most all the games.
What rally did she?
You didn't see it?
No.
You know the one they did in front of Mount Rushmore?
I didn't realize that. She emceed that?
Oh, yeah. The whole thing.
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't watch that thing.
Yeah, I don't think that... I mean, I think she's game for goofing around. I mean,
Then the Larry King seat. Then I went to Larry King seat.
Yeah. I think you, yeah, you could easily. There's probably 20, 30 seats back there where you can get on TV every pitch.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. I want to be on TV every pitch.
Moment of honesty here.
Yeah.
Are we sure baseball's starting? I'm
yes,
starting to come around to Buster's way of thinking.
No, I'm 100% sure it's
when
starting.
I saw those numbers in St. Louis today, we're really going to have people go to work in that stadium?
Yeah, but the testing has been successful.
Well, I'm not worried about... I think the players can all be tested, but the staff and the workers and everything?
The staff and the workers are being tested too, John. I mean, baseball's testing a lot. Now, they had some holdups. They had stuff over the 4th of July weekend where there were some tests that didn't come back on time. And so the Nationals had to cancel a workout. The A's had to cancel a workout. But for the most part, the testing has been successful, and guys are getting tested in the same way Joe Varden talked about, hey, getting tested every day. Baseball players are getting tested.
No, but are the clubhouse attendants getting tested, and are the umpires getting tested? And all
of
the,
course.
Are the camera
Otherwise, people? What's the point of this if you're not testing everybody?
They're testing
You've got to test everybody.
They're testing all the camera people?
They've got to be.
They've got to be. Anybody that's in that, it's not technically a bubble, but that stadium is going to be a bubble. Each stadium is going to be its own bubble. Everybody in that stadium will have tested negative. Otherwise, what's the point? Otherwise, the whole thing goes up in smoke right away. I mean, that's the way Dodger Stadium needs to be a bubble for this. And, you know, God, it's hellacious out there. Apparently our numbers are just out of control and we're on the verge of another shutdown and all that stuff in L.A. But if you can maintain a bubble around Dodger Stadium with all the workers, all the staff, the trainers, the clubbies, the players, the umpires, as long as you can maintain negative tests there, there's no reason why you couldn't play games. The one thing I wonder about is if we do get a shutdown, does that mean the Dodgers won't be able to play? Or will baseball be exempted?
That's a great question. Well, I mean, you know, for example, Michael and I are going into LA Live to do the games.
But that's considered to be broadcast and media is considered to be essential.
But the players, we're broadcasting sporting events. The sporting event itself is not essential? How can you qualify us as essential if the game itself isn't?
Well, because television and radio are exempted from all this. Television and radio broadcast mediums are...
Really?
Oh, yeah, they're exempted. They're considered essential.
Okay.
So you are more essential than the players.
Than Justin Turner? Yeah, that's a weird one.
You're more essential.
I'm not sure
than
that's
Clayton
true.
Kershaw.
I think you're guessing there, but...
No, that is true. I heard somewhere. That is true. That broadcast people, that local television, local radio are considered to be essential.
Boy, never been the case in the past. You know what I mean?
Oh, it's definitely not been the case. Us radio guys rarely get referred to as essential.
Yeah.
There was another thing I was meaning to get. This came in today. Yasiel Puig has landed. Did you see where he wound up?
I did. By the way, did it surprise you it took him this long to catch on?
Well, they were waiting on an injury. He was going to sign somewhere, but he was waiting on an injury. And when Nick Markakis opted out, the Braves right fielder, it created a perfect spot for Yasiel Puig to land.
He ended up going to Atlanta, by the way.
Yeah, going to Atlanta. I'm not at all surprised that it took this long. I mean, I think when you sign Yasiel Puig, you're going to get the Yasiel Puig e-ticket ride, which includes all kinds of stuff, not necessarily all good. I personally love the guy. I've played in his poker tournament a couple years. I think he's a really cool guy. And yeah, you get some stuff with Yasiel Puig, but ideally he's growing up and he's maturing, and right field is his spot, and the Braves had an opening, so it made perfect sense. But Yasiel Puig, we won't see him during the regular season, but I guarantee you, I can't guarantee you anything, but I think that that's going to be a playoff team. I think the Braves are going to be a playoff team. So we could see Yasiel Puig potentially in the playoffs, which would be fun, which would be fun. There was one other thing I was going to get to here, and John, do you remember what it was? It was a really good one. It was a big story.
I was just going to say, you know, people that are down, and you're right, people are, Yasiel Puig is very polarizing. People either love him or hate him. But you remember a couple of years ago when the Dodgers ended up winning the NLCS to go to the World Series, it was Puig that hit the key homer in Game 7 in Milwaukee.
Right.
Without
I remember.
Without him, they don't win it.
Yep, there's no question. This is the other thing I wanted to get to was Pete Thamel, who writes for Yahoo. This story came out yesterday, and Lindsay, I think we're trying to get him for tomorrow, maybe?
Efforting Pete Thamel for the week.
Efforting, okay. So his headline is, "Time to Face Reality, No One is Playing College Football in the Fall." And he quotes a Power 5 athletic director. "Right now, I don't see a path in the current environment to how we play. I'm confident we'll get back to what we all think of as normal, but it may be a year before that happens." So that is a Power 5 athletic director that said that. Here he went on to say this. "A high-ranking college official, ultimately no one is playing football in the fall. It's just a matter of how it unfolds. As soon as one of the Autonomy 5 or Power 5 conferences makes a decision, that's going to end it."
Pete's a good reporter, and I hope we get him this week.
Yeah.
I was talking to another college football reporter, and he said he talked to three Pac-12 athletic directors in the last 2 weeks. And that two of the three said they were playing.
Well, here earlier today, Mike Bone, the USC athletic director, was on with Scott Kaplan. Here's what he said.
"Let's talk about today, Mike, the future of actually playing. Start me off with this. Do you think USC is going to play football this year?"
"Well, I'll tell you what, Scott, we're trying, like, doing everything we can to to try and play. But I think that you're a specimen of our ability to protect our athletes and coaches and staff, let alone our fans, is a significant challenge. So, obviously, again, just like the entire country, we are hopeful to be able to play, but hope is not a great strategy. Instead, what we're trying to do is everything we can to ensure that our protocols are tight, that they're fundamentally sound, and that we have the ability to rally everybody to ensure our student-athletes are safe. But as of right now, Scott, I think it's 50-50 at best."
So Mike Bone says 50-50 at best. I don't see how they do it. I mean, I want to be as optimistic as possible.
What happened to Mr. Positivity that everybody's playing and it's all on?
Here's the thing. Testing is really, really expensive. And as baseball's finding out, as the NBA testing every day, the NFL, there's no way they do this without testing and testing a lot. By testing, you've got, 80 kids in a program? All the support staff, trainers, coaches, assistant coaches. College football program?
Yeah, you have close to 100.
Right. You've got to test all those people. And you got to test them regularly. And where's that money coming from? Especially without game day revenue. And you can't do it without the testing.
Yeah, it's a... I just think...
Right, do you agree? You can't do that without testing.
I do agree.
And you got to test all those people.
And I also think that even if you test everybody, if one falls through the cracks, the act of football is almost like the opposite of social distancing.
Yes.
You're trying to kill the guy with the ball. You know, everybody's trying to pile on and jump on him.
Trying to eliminate any distance between you and the other guy.
If all the sports we're talking about, it's the one that would involve the most grabbing and holding and contacting and tackling, and it seems like a tall order.
Now, so... in the same way that I don't think college football is going to happen because of testing and the unbelievable effort that has to go into testing over 100 people every day, the NFL, I think, is going to find a way to do it.
Yeah, they have the money.
They've got the money. They've got the resources. They've got their fancy helmet shields. Have you seen the helmet shield?
Yeah, and I've heard some players have said they're not going to wear them. Let's see if they walk that back. I mean, a lot of guys, you know, a lot of NBA players said, "I'll never play if
I'll never go to
fans.
A bubble." Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, let's let that play out.
Yep. All right. Coming up next for you is Radio Tinder. Linz has some stuff for us next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, it's Radio Tinder. Swipe left, swipe right, swipe Linz. What do you got, Linz?
That's a good intro. I like that.
I'm going to stick with that.
Yeah, very impressive. All right,
we'll see if you guys want to swipe on Squatters, who have trademarked almost every Washington NFL nickname option.
Yeah,
swipe right on this. This is good.
Yeah, one man, Martin McCauley, currently has the rights to about 50 potential football nicknames. His requests range from Washington Sharks and Pandas to the Warriors, Senators, Federals, Founders, even the Washington Football Club. He originally filed most of the trademarks back in 2014 with the intent on selling them to the Washington Football Club, but says at this point he doesn't even care about the money. He just wants the team to have a new name. Should the Washington Football Club pay this guy some money if they want to use one of his trademark nicknames? Swipe left or swipe right?
Yeah. They should. They swipe right. They should pay him money, Mace. He had the foresight to come up with this. Shouldn't be a lot of money, but he should get, you know, a little something for the effort.
John, he should not get a dime. I will swipe left on this. There's actually a law called the Anti-Cyber Squatting Consumer Protection Act.
That's not a real thing. You just made that up.
It's if you are using an internet domain name with bad faith or intent to profit from the goodwill of a trademark belonging to someone else, it is against the law. Cyber squatting is wrong. I say I'm going to swipe left. I don't think this guy gets a dime for his efforts.
Lindsay, what do you think?
I think he should get a little bit of money. Nothing crazy, but
I'm with you.
I think they should give him something because the guy, I mean, he could make he could just say no. And then you've got a whole big thing on your hands, especially
Mace.
If they're going to go to a fan vote for the name.
Yeah. Hey, Mace, I got a compromise for you.
Okay.
Season tickets for life. What do you think?
They are the worst team in the league.
He loves them, though. I think he's a fan.
Yeah, but he's a fan. Yeah, probably. That's probably enough to do it.
You're going to play the games anyway.
It really does open Pandora's box. Now, I'll occasionally buy a domain name and forget that I bought it. Like, for example, John, I just released the rights to Zotime. I bought a domain, Zotime, Zotime.
This makes me sad.
Because of Lonzo Ball, Zotime. I thought that could be a catchy expression. But I never did anything with it. And quite frankly, Lonzo never warranted necessarily doing anything with it.
And you know LeVar Ball isn't going to be paying you any money for it. That's right.
Hell no.
Hell no.
But yeah.
Never lost.
Never lost. I think it's against the law. But John, you're right. I think some token like season tickets would probably be worth it.
Yeah, that's a good compromise. All right, next one. Americans are planning millions of trips this summer within the United States, according to a forecast released by AAA last month. A third of states, though, have restrictions in place for visitors, from mandatory testing to quarantine requirements. Some states, like New York, are requiring visitors from, quote, high-risk states to quarantine for 14 days when they arrive in their state, and they're subject to a
2,000 days.
Yeah, and they're subject to a $2,000 fine for noncompliance. Would you guys travel to one of these states that have these quarantine and/or testing rules? Swipe left or swipe right?
No, swipe left. I'm not going to a state where I got a quarantine for four. This is why Mason came home from Hawaii early. He was worried about getting stuck.
Yeah, I was worried about getting stuck, yeah.
What if you're planning on going on a yearly camping trip that happens to be in the state of New York, and you go the same week every year with your family?
I know someone who fits this description.
And you decide that you're going to quarantine in one of these non-high-risk states for 14 days, just like they want you to, and then like a week before you go on the trip, that state is added to the list. What do you do?
Well, were you going to go for 14 days?
I mean, I've been in Ohio for a couple weeks, so.
No, but were you going to go to New York on your camping trip? Is your camping trip 2 weeks?
No, it's a week. But you have to quarantine at one of the non-high risk states. So me traveling there from Ohio.
Your camping is actually in the state of New York?
Yeah, and so me traveling from Ohio as of yesterday was perfectly fine because it's not a high risk state. Today, they add it to the list. So now
What if you came back to California?
It's on the list too. There's now about 20 states on there.
Yeah, I think you're hosed. I think you're
going to New York this
I think we're going to go quarantine with my dad in Chicago for 2 weeks.
Well, that's not a bad plan.
So if anyone calls you guys, that's where I am.
Okay, got it. By the way,
would you guys travel to any of these states that have these restrictions?
No, I'm not going anywhere where I have to quarantine for 2 weeks.
No, I can't. I mean, God knows I like to take a lot of vacation, but in order to do that, you'd have to take 2 weeks vacation in order to get 1 week vacation at the other side of quarantine. I don't think it makes any sense.
Well, I think my issue is we're going to be in the middle of nowhere where there's nobody else there. And we're literally quarantining ourselves by being there. It's just going to be us, like my family.
You're right. But you can't win that argument with the governor of New York.
Yeah, he's really a badass. By the way, WashingtonRedTails.com is available if you go to GoDaddy for $50,000, that's what he's selling Washington Red Tails for.
Step up, Mace. Let's
see. That's not bad.
$50,000 for Dan Snyder. If he wants to go with Red Tails, it's perfect.
At this point, if you're a professional team and you have to change your name, I think that no matter what you name your team, whatever the website domain is, you're going to have to pay some money for it, right?
Right.
Buy it off of somebody. All right, next one. If you're looking for the best spot to spend your golden years, which I don't know if how far you guys are away, but I'm
getting
quite a
close.
While. You may want to check out 17 countries other than the United States, according to a new retirement ranking. The U.S. placed number 18 out of 44 countries for health, happiness, and financial security of its retirees, and that fell two spots from 2018. The decline in quality of life for U.S. retirees is simply due to a decrease in happiness. And that's for, I guess, a various number of reasons. Would you guys ever consider retiring to a foreign country? Swipe left or swipe right?
Swipe right. I would definitely consider it. And, you know, there are one of the reasons why I travel a lot is I'm sort of scouting for destinations that I would live in part-time. I can't imagine moving full-time to another country.
What are some of the places you've looked at?
Looked at Costa Rica, looked at Panama, looked at Colombia, looked at Portugal, looked at Italy, looked at Greece.
Those are the potential places. Seem to be higher than the, at least a couple of them are at least higher than the United States. So
on the happiness list?
Yeah, yeah.
I would go to I would go to Italy or Ireland. Other than those two, I'm not going anywhere.
I don't see Italy or Ireland on there. But yep, well, I mean, having like a part-time home in another country, like the Bahamas is in another country, but maybe Costa Rica. Like, who's going to say
that? Wait a minute.
That?
What do you mean the Bahamas isn't another country?
Well, isn't it a territory?
No.
Like, technically a country?
No, Michael Thompson would correct you immediately.
You're right. I'm thinking of the Dominican
Republic.
Virgin
Islands.
Yeah, but no, Bahamas.
Oh, the DR. Yeah, the DR is its own country.
Yeah, and so is the Bahamas.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm not so great at geography, sorry. All right, and then the last one here is also somewhat of a retirement question.
Okay, good. What are you trying to push us out the door?
I know. Well, they both had things in common, so I figured we'll just get you guys' your whole 401k, Social Security plan, everything all done at once. Retirement expert says young people are spending too much money on stupid stuff. According to a Yahoo Finance story, things like Uber, Netflix, and Postmates are eating up young people's wallets. Apparently, frequent Uber and Lyft users spend a median of $95 a month, which can add up to over $1,000 a year. This article explains that young people have to save for retirement first and then enjoy. Are you guys willing to give up some of your favorite things when you're younger to allow to live more comfortably later in life? Swipe left or swipe right?
I'll swipe right on this, but you know, when you're young, you don't think that way.
Yeah, yep. but when you're young, you should.
Right. That's why I swiped right. It is. But, you know, everybody when they're young spends money on dumb stuff. I mean, it's just like a rite of passage. When I was in my 20s, I spent way too much money in bars.
It's true. It's true.
You know.
But some of these things are like a lifestyle change, having to give up you know, Postmates or Uber or Netflix, that would be like a huge game changer for a lot of people, not even just young people. I think people in general, right?
Yeah. What were the three? Uber, Netflix, and what was the other one?
And Postmates, like food delivery services.
Yeah. I don't use Postmates. I use some other ones. So let's just put that under,
yeah. So you use that one. You use, I use Grubhub. What do you use?
DoorDash.
DoorDash. Okay. So we are basically in that category.
So yeah. I have to give up. Let's say you pick one and dump two. You can only keep one between food delivery, Uber, and Netflix.
Oh, that is so tough.
Well, it is.
I think I'm actually keeping the food delivery.
I think so too.
I think I, well, especially right now.
But then what would you watch?
Now.
What would you watch, though, when you're eating your food?
Hulu, Amazon Prime.
Disney Plus. Not Quibi. ESPN Plus.
Yeah.
There are other channels.
You could get the bundle. Everyone's big on the bundle right now.
Yeah, big on the bundle. Big on the bundle. By the way, that whole thing is just a
What?
Great. Show. It's a great idea, the bundle.
No, the bundle's awesome, but here's
What's the bad show? What are you...
So, HBO Go, where I watch The Sopranos, and I'm in season 5 of The Sopranos.
Oh, they're getting rid of it.
It's going away.
Yeah.
Wait, we finally got to the bottom of the HBO.
They're getting rid of HBO Go. They're getting rid of HBO Max. It's just going to be HBO, right, Mace?
It's just, right. It's going to be HBO Max. It is going to be HBO Max. But what I don't understand is, so HBO Max comes along. Does that mean I keep regular HBO on my cable package?
Yes, and if you do get it on your cable package, you get HBO Max for free.
For free?
Yeah, you just got to go online and read up on how to do it.
And then what's this Peacock thing they're doing?
Oh, that's different. It's NBC's streaming service.
Yeah, you're going to have to pay extra for that.
You're going to have to buy separately. Eventually, what's going to happen is you're going to have to pick your a la carte streaming services. They're going to have CBS is going to have their own one, and NBC is going to have their own. And it's just going to be like buying a cable package, but you're going to have to pick the channels that you watch on your own.
I think I liked cable better than what we're getting now. You're going to have to
turn into that, yeah.
You're going to have to buy so many different streaming services at this point. And I don't even know how much of them, like I use my Disney Plus. By the way, did you watch Hamilton, Lynn?
I haven't watched it yet. Should I?
What? What is wrong with you?
I'll watch it tonight.
How old is your nephew or niece?
He's 8. My nephew is 8.
Oh, no, that's pre-Hamilton.
There's no way that he would watch that.
No,
well,
no,
by the way,
Lindsay,
you say you're going to watch it tonight. It's 3 hours and 20 minutes. You may need to watch it during the day.
Well, I'll watch it sometime before the end of the weekend, okay?
Fair enough.
It's great. We got to get your review. Scott Kaplan, we're waiting on his review, too. All right, there you have your radio Tinder. And coming up next for you, there was a positive test from inside the bubble today. It broke a little while ago. We'll talk about that coming up for you. Plus, the Dodgers intra-squad game is going to be going on tonight. We will let you know a little bit about the starting pitchers. And don't forget, we are bearing down on all this coming up for real. We've already got an LAFC game. We talked to Dave Denholm about that. They're playing the Galaxy on Saturday as part of the Welcome Back MLS tournament. We've got baseball starting a week from Thursday, Dodgers versus Giants, and we are just 16 days away from Clippers-Lakers in the bubble down in Orlando. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
We lost Mace.
All right, Mason in Ireland. We are coming up on Game of Games in about 15 minutes, and what might be a shocking development, Mason has technical problems, so it could be Funch Day. It could be finally the day.
Finally.
By default.
He only would have to beat Lindsay in my game of games. So that would be if Funch, the only reason you win is because Mason could not technically get on the show, that would still be an acceptable victory for you.
I wouldn't even more if you got an alumni game today.
Yeah, that would be excellent.
That's the reason why Funch hasn't won a game yet, because we haven't had the alumni game.
No, it's not alumni game today. It's something completely
different. He's a dead ringer.
Great, it's not Funch Day, Dan.
No, yeah, it could be. The quiz today is combination multiple choice or true or false. So you've got a shot either way. You actually have an opportunity. All right, well, we're trying to figure out what's going on with Mason. We were going to mention that the NBA bubble, the tests are still very, very low. But today it was announced that Harrison Barnes has coronavirus. He'll quarantine and join his team later. The Sacramento Kings have kind of been hit with this because Rashawn Holmes plays for the Sacramento Kings. Harrison Barnes plays for the Kings. They've had four guys total.
There we go.
That at one point, hey, they've four. Is that the one you were talking about, Harrison Barnes, or were you talking about Michael Beasley?
Michael Beasley.
Yeah, Michael Beasley, the former Laker, had been signed to play for Brooklyn. But Mace, you know, he had to serve a 5-game suspension, so he wasn't eligible until the 6th game anyway.
Right.
So by the time he quarantines, he will be back in what would have been less time than before. The interesting thing is going to be if guys who have gone into Orlando start to test positive for the virus, because they haven't had many of those. Have they had any of those? Did Beasley ever get to Orlando?
Yes.
Beasley was in Orlando and in the bubble.
Okay, so this will be interesting to see if the other guys on Brooklyn's team contract it now. Because that was their big worry, that a guy in the bubble would spread it.
Well, the crazy thing is they now have got, and they signed Beasley. They have 8 players now who have tested positive for Corona. And a 9th one who's opted out of the restart altogether. Who opted out? Was it Dinwiddie? No, not Dinwiddie. Who opted out for...
It was Dinwiddie.
Was it Dinwiddie
opted out? Yeah.
Yeah, so Spencer didn't... But they have been totally snake bit.
Well, they weren't going to... I don't think they're going to win it anyway with no Kyrie and no Durant. But
no, not at all.
But,
they should just drop out at this point.
No, but that's what they're trying to avoid, is trying to avoid what happened with soccer, with those two teams just completely
dropping
out.
Yeah, but I mean, John, that's the right thing. If a team is totally infected, they have to drop out. They should drop out.
They should, because what's the point of them being there? If they have no chance of winning, they might as well just not even be there, not put themselves at risk, not put anyone else at risk.
Hold on, guys. They have 17 players. Even if 8 of them, and some of those guys are going to come back, going to quarantine and meet the requirements to come back. Let's say 8 of them were unable to play. That still leaves you with 9. And then guys are getting signed left and right. Jamal Crawford got signed. Beasley was a late signing. They can field a team of people that don't test positive for COVID.
But isn't that like just fielding a team? Is that really what we want to do here?
Well, I think part of the experiment is to get through it. All the scheduling. I mean, a major part of this, guys, is to conduct these games and follow the schedule so the TV partners can cash in on revenue and all these people that work around the NBA can get paid. I think they would love to try and play it as scheduled. Now, if 15 of the 17 guys get it, then they're left with no choice.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, I I'm just reading this out of the New York Post. New Nets forward Michael Beasley has tested positive for coronavirus and left the NBA restart in Orlando. Now, does that mean he was in the bubble?
Sounds like it.
So that would be the first positive test from inside the bubble.
Right, but let's...
I think he was one of the 2 that were reported yesterday, and we just found out today that was who it was. Because remember, it said there were 2 players in the bubble that were being either sent home or to an off-site quarantine, off-site facility to quarantine.
Oh, you're right. That absolutely could be him, and he was just identified today.
Right, and so, and the other thing is they... I don't know if Beasley was practicing with the team anyway because he's suspended for those first 5 games. He's serving a 5-game suspension. I'm assuming he was allowed to practice, but I don't know.
Right. Have the Lakers actually practiced yet?
Oh, yeah.
And they've played 5-on-5.
Matter of fact, they're not practicing today, and it's the first day they haven't practiced since arriving there last Thursday. They've practiced every other day. They practiced Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and they have today off. But they're back at it again tomorrow. And we found out, we got official word today that we are going to broadcast their scrimmage a week from Saturday on the 25th against Orlando.
Oh, we are.
So that's going to be like a dress rehearsal. And then we're doing all 8 of the seeding games. And we're doing all the playoff games, obviously.
Right. Wow. So your test game is going to be that scrimmage.
On a Saturday morning. Yes. Saturday, the 25th of July at 9 a.m.
And then do you know what times the games are going to be played?
All but the last one. I know seven of the eight. For example, the Clippers game, which is the one everybody's excited about on July 29th, the opener, it's on TNT.
Yep.
6 o'clock Pacific tip. 9 o'clock
6
Eastern.
O'clock Pacific. So, right. So they're getting that game into primetime back east.
Second game of a doubleheader in primetime for LeBron and for Kawhi.
And there's only two games played that day, right?
Yes, and then the next day is a full slate.
Right, got it.
And then the Lakers basically, once they start on that Thursday the 29th, they play every other day. Basically, there might be a slight variation from that, but if you're a Laker fan, you can count on games almost every other day.
That's awesome. That's awesome. All right, it's coming, people.
Coming up next, Game of Games for a brief shining moment there. Michael Funch's thought his chances had improved.
Funch Day!
Because you were out, but now you're back in. And it's all hands on deck for Game of Games next. It's my game today.
All right, that's coming up next for you, Game of Games, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, it is time, people. It is me, 3, Ireland, 3, Lindsay, 2, Brian Kamenetsky is a guest host, 1, and Funch. Hello, calling Funch.
Funch Day.
Today's the day.
Funch Day. I hope it is for you, Funch.
All right, so it's my game today, and let me start with this. Do any of you know what tonight was supposed to be?
The All-Star Game.
Do you know where it was supposed to be?
Dodger Stadium.
Correct. It was supposed to be the All-Star Game at Dodger Stadium tonight. It would be going on right now. Instead, like everything else in 2020, it's been canceled. With that in mind, I have a baseball All-Star Game quiz. Some of these are multiple choice, some true or false. Here we go. We'll start with a true or false. The last time the Dodgers hosted the All-Star Game was in 1980. Earl Weaver and Chuck Tanner were the managers in that game, and the National League won 4-2 when Ken Griffey Sr. homered and was the game's MVP. Lindsay, is that true or false?
I'm going to guess that's true.
Okay, fun.
True.
Mace?
I'm going to say false.
It is 100% true. The Dodgers have not hosted the game, and now that record is still intact. In 40 years, in 1980, and all those things happened. All right, so Lindsay and Funch are out to an early lead. All right, this is only the second time the Major League Baseball All-Star Game will not be played since the game started in 1933. The last time it wasn't played was because, A, in 1944, the baseball strike. B, in 1972, because of the murders at the Munich Olympics. Or C, in 1945, because of World War II. Funch, A, B, or C, the baseball strike, the Olympics, or World War II, A, B, or C?
I'll say C, World War II.
Okay, Mace.
Yeah, I'm going to say 1945.
Lindsay.
I just recently read this, doing some research for a show thing, and yeah, it's C.
It's C. 1945 is the last. Can you believe that? They've found a way to play the game ever since then. In 94, there was a baseball strike, but the All-Star game was played.
It started after the All-Star game.
Yeah, before it played. All right, Mace, this one goes to you. True or false? Don Sutton and Steve Garvey won back-to-back All-Star Game MVPs in 77 and 78. A Dodger player has not won it since then. True or false?
77, 78.
Don Sutton, right, Steve Garvey.
Right time frame. For some reason, I think I'm going to say that's false.
Okay, Lindsay.
Well, if Mace, Mr. Dodgers, thinks it's false, then I'm going to guess that it was also false.
All right, Funch.
I'll say true.
Oh, Funch.
Oh!
Mike Piazza won it in 1996.
I almost said I thought Mike Piazza did win one.
The thing about Sutton and Garvey was true. They did win All-Star Game MVPs in 77 and 78 back-to-back, but then Piazza won it in 96. Okay. Lindsay, 3. Funch, 2. Mason 2. All right. Funch, this one starts with you. There were two All-Star games played each season from 1959 through 1962. The reason for this was, A, the two leagues couldn't agree on which one would host the game, so they gave one to each league. B, they wanted to raise extra money for the players and other causes. Or C, the 1958 game ended in a tie because of rain, so they added a second game in a warm weather city to ensure they had at least one full result. Funch, A, B, or C?
I'll go with A.
Okay. Mace?
I will go with B.
All right, Lindsay.
Wait, can you say
yes.
A again?
Okay. This is a fact. There were two All-Star games played from 59 through 62. The reason for this was A, the two leagues couldn't agree which one would host the game, so they gave one to each league. B, they wanted to raise extra money for the players and other causes. C, the 58 game ended in a tie because of rain, so they added a second game in a warm weather city to ensure they had one genuine result. A, B, or C, Lindsay?
I think it was B, to make more money.
Lindsay and Mason are correct. It was they wanted to raise money for the players' pension fund.
Oh, nice.
And for other causes, but they scrapped it after 3 years because they felt like it watered down the game too much. All right, Funch, you need a little comeback here, but you have time. True or false, Mace, this one goes to you. The American League has won the last seven All-Star games and 19 of the last 23. True or false?
That is true.
Lindsay?
True.
Funch?
True.
It is true. The American League owns the All-Star game. All right, Lindsay 5. Mason 4. Funch is 3. Lindsay, back to you. Hank Aaron holds the record for most All-Star game appearances with 25. Which of these players appeared in the most All-Star games? A, Cal Ripken. B, Pete Rose. C, Barry Bonds. Ripken, Rose, or Bonds, Lindsay?
I'm going to go with Cal Ripken.
Okay, Funch. Ripken, Rose, or Bonds?
I'll say Bonds.
Mace?
I'm going to try to catch Lindsay here and go Pete Rose.
Pete Rose appeared in 17. Barry Bonds appeared in 14. Cal Ripken is the winner, 19 All-Star games.
Damn.
6-4-3.
So has Lindsay clinched?
Let me see.
No.
Yes, because there's only one game left. All right, let's see if you guys can do it. Only one current Major League team has never hosted the All-Star game since it began in 1933. Is it the A's, the Rays, or the White Sox? Lindsay, by the way, if you get this, you go 7-for-7. So only one current MLB team has never hosted the All-Star game since 1933. Is it the A's, the Rays, or the White Sox?
I'm fairly certain. I almost took a job with this team that it was the Rays.
Okay, Funch.
Let's go with A.
You're going Oakland. Mace.
Oakland. I'm going to go Rays.
Rays is the correct answer. Yeah. Lindsay runs the table. Mason finishes with a respectable 5. And Funch, 3 out of 7.
Funch, what is going on, man?
At least he had a better showing today.
All right, let's do the tiebreaker just for fun.
Okay, cool.
The Home Run Derby started in 1985. Giancarlo Stanton holds the record for most homers in the Derby with 61. What is the fewest number of home runs by a Derby winner?
Hmm.
All right, Lindsay, take a guess. Ever. It started in 85.
And how many was Giancarlo of 61?
61.
I'm going to go 45.
45. Funch.
I'll say 37.
Mace.
That's right in that range. I'm going to say I'm going to say 39 and split the difference.
Funch wins by default. The answer is three.
What? Three? How?
Yeah, Ryne Sandberg in 1980, Ruben Sierra and Eric Davis in 1983 tied. Remember they used to have one round and they just had no excitement? And the guys, they each won it with three home runs.
Wait, what do you mean they would have one round?
One round.
In other words, you don't go to the semifinals and the finals.
So each player would go up and hit for however long.
No, and I think they each got 10 swings.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
And then they ramped
it up. Thank God they changed it.
Yeah, so the answer, Ryne Sandberg won it 1 year with three. And two years later, Ruben Sierra and Eric Davis tied with three each.
Wow.
I think the Home Run Derby is fun. I'm bummed that it got canceled this year.
I also think the Home Run Derby has gotten fun. I think the new format has really worked.
Too. Yeah.
It would have been fun this year to see Bellinger in his home park. Maybe Betts, too.
Yeah. Although Dodgers, Pitcher's Park, wouldn't have necessarily put up gigantic numbers.
We don't know that anymore because they changed the outfield, right? Yeah,
and didn't the Dodgers lead the league in home runs last year?
Yeah.
So two years ago, I think they did.
Off the top of my head, I can't tell you, but close. You're right. Yeah. You're right.
I mean, and by the way, you have your own hand-selected pitcher throwing you basically puffballs. So, I mean, the guys would hit a lot of homers.
Yeah, Dodgers were fourth in baseball in home runs last year with 279.
Yeah, so, I mean, Dodger Stadium wouldn't have held these guys back.
It hasn't slowed them down. By the way, the amazing thing about last year, 810 team OPS, 810.
Jeez.
Yeah, they were unbelievable. And in terms of runs scored, they scored more teams than any team in the National League. So they led the National League in runs. And this year they add Mookie Betts. They can be really good. They can be really good. Like seeing them take 3 out of 4 from the Giants to start the year.
4 out of 4. Giants stink.
Start out at least 3-1. Start out at least 3-1. Got to get off to a good start. All right, coming up next for you. Hey, how you doing, guys? Alan Sliwa is going to be joining us for some crosstalk. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. The 5 words that light up Los Angeles every night.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Oh, that's great. Mace, two things. Listen, Mace, two things I want to take from the show today, okay?
Yes, please.
Very, very important things.
Yep.
Number one, the weed and donuts diet, genius.
It's fantastic. You should
try
it.
Was not aware that was the diet that you had in mind. And the second thing, 200%, Chris Morales would easily burst the entire – I mean, the bubble would have no chance.
No chance. He would not protect the sanctity of the bubble.
But wait, he did make a good point when he responded. If all he had to do was play golf and drink scotch, he could do that without violating the bubble.
Well, whatever Morales does in his free time, I just don't want to know about. Like, just keep whatever that is that you're doing to yourself, Chris.
In that case, John, he might, if NBA ended October 12th in the bubble, he might stay for another month after.
He might be the only guy who would voluntarily quarantine for 3 months.
So what's up, Sliwa?
What's going on? So if I understand this right.
Thank you, by the way, for listening. You appear to be listening to the show very carefully, like I was to yours last night. I was listening to the Sliwa show last night while I was watching the second half of LAFC. And I thought, Alan, of all the shows you have done,
was that one of them.
I've never heard that show. Is it any good?
It's very average.
Moments. Curtis really steals the show. Once Curtis really opens up and starts sort of taking over, because I think ultimately it's the Poindexter show with Alan Sliwa. This is just my theory.
Yeah, that's all I do. I just warm up. He's taking shots. I rebound the ball for him. That's pretty much all I'm doing.
By the way, you guys, this I mentioned tonight was supposed to be the Major League Baseball All-Star Game at Dodger Stadium. This is also the anniversary of a major, major sports event in Los Angeles. Do you guys know what it is?
Tonight?
Today. July 14th.
Is the date of Shaq getting traded to Miami.
Correct. Would that be, I'm trying to figure out, probably Kareem being traded here was the biggest incoming trade in LA sports history. You could argue Kobe also, but we didn't know Kobe was Kobe until he got older. We knew what we were getting in Kareem. Would Shaq be the most significant outgoing trade? The Rams traded Dickerson in his prime. The Dodgers traded Piazza in his prime. But the Lakers trading Shaq in his prime is probably the most significant outgoing trade in LA sports history, is it not?
You know what comes to mind right away, John, and I know this never happened, but the thing that we always talk about, how big was it when we thought we had Chris Paul for an hour, Pau Gasol and Lamar Odom are gone. Now they're back on the team, and it's like both franchises, you know, obviously try and figure it out from there. But the Shaq trade, geez, yeah, I know, that's as big as it gets. How about the Pau trade when he came here?
Not the same.
Shaq
was was generally considered the most dominant big man in the game and had appeared in four of the last five NBA finals.
And went straight to the finals again and won.
Yep.
That's right, that year.
And, you know, there are many people that believe that, you know, he was in the middle of a contract negotiation. And
and
the problem was that Kobe had the right to opt out. You know, Kobe was a free agent at the time, and so if Dr. Buss played that wrong, if he gave all the money to Shaq and then didn't have enough left to pay Kobe, or if Kobe didn't want to play with Shaq anymore, as a lot of people said, they didn't want to take that chance because Kobe and Shaq always feuded. Then Dr. Buss was playing poker. Because if he does re-sign, or if he doesn't trade Shaq, would he have been able to re-sign Kobe?
Well, would Kobe have wanted to continue to play with Shaq is the question.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You've always contended Kobe had a deal with the Clippers ready to go if Shaq wasn't traded.
If you believe Mike Dunleavy and Elgin Baylor, they both told me that. Hmm. They told me that they had a verbal agreement from Kobe to come to the Clippers, and Dr. Buss swooped in at the last minute and talked Kobe into staying with the Lakers. And Jerry West, in a recent interview, said that he called Kobe and said to Kobe, and, you know, keep in mind, Jerry West was already gone from the Lakers at this point, but he said to Kobe, you cannot play for that owner. You cannot play for that man. And that must have been hard for Jerry because Elgin Baylor was a good friend of his and he had great respect for him. But he just...
How did we find that out, by the way? Jerry
told the story himself.
Yeah. He cannot play for that man.
He was on a show. I forget. And I know what you're talking about, John. Maybe it was either one of the ESPN shows. Might have been Dan Patrick, but I know exactly, you know, what you're talking about. John, I'll ask just... How just the climate in LA, like, think about how tough that was, because you had an incredible amount of Shaq fans, an incredible amount of Kobe fans, and here we were, you go to four out of five NBA championships, you win three of them. Shaq was finals MVP, you know, obviously in each one of those finals. That was one of those moments where you felt like there a lot of Laker fans, they didn't know which way to go. Like, you have to choose between these two unbelievable players that helped shape the last, you know,
oh, it's so divisive
watching Lakers basketball.
Alan, I mean, we were on the air during that period. It was so divisive. I mean, we always joke that you could have said Kobe or Shaq, 877-710-ESPN, and all the phone lines would light up and everybody would have a strong take on whether it was Kobe or it was Shaq.
Alan, we could do that now.
I was going to say,
you could do it tonight on your show. And you would not have a dead phone line for 3 hours. It was the most polarizing sports LA thing ever. And I've been a sportscaster in this town since 1995. Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to remember, John, were you a Kobe guy or a Shaq guy when we had those debates?
Here was the problem with...
Or were you allowed to have it? I don't know if you were allowed to say.
I can't remember if I did it publicly, but here's what I knew privately. Here's why I think Dr. Buss made the right decision. Shaq was the most dominant player in the league, but Kobe, and Shaq will admit this now, but he probably wouldn't have back then. Kobe was the first player to come to practice and the last one to leave. Shaq was the last player to come to practice and the first one to leave. But Shaq was so good and so dominant that you remember he had that one line when he got hurt. He said, "I got hurt on company time," and he waited all summer and had his surgery right before the season. He goes, "I'll heal on company time," because he didn't want to bail out. Kobe's future, he knew Kobe was just driven to be the best player in the NBA. Shaq was already there, and Kobe was younger. So I think Dr. Buss bet on the younger guy, and as it turns out, it got him three more trips to the finals.
Yeah, because Shaq, you know, had a great year in Miami and won that title and had another two more good years in Miami, and then it really declined. So you were betting on the younger guy in that scenario, and it was right. I'll be honest, I was always a Shaq guy. When it came down to those Kobe-Shaq arguments, I tended to come down on the side of Shaq just because I found the guy so friggin' lovable and funny and goofy.
I've said it a million times that Shaq understood the relationship between sports and entertainment in Los Angeles.
Yep.
Better than anyone ever. The only one who was in his league was Magic. Magic.
And he took your 2K team to the top, Mace.
That's right, Shaq.
And that's why it was such a hard decision. Shaq was extremely popular. He was the most dominant player in the league. But I think Dr. Buss knew that if he let Kobe get away, that Kobe would come back and destroy him. Because then you would be bet. You know, Mace, you always say you're always getting better or getting worse.
Yep.
I think Shaq was right at his apex.
Yes, he was.
Then. He had no.
He had one more good. He had one more really great year in Miami.
Right, and but in terms of if he was ascending or descending, he was right at the top. And Kobe was clearly ascending. Kobe was about to take over the whole league. And, you know, Dr. Buss was a visionary. He used to gamble all the time, and he gambled on Kobe, and it turned out to be the right decision. Shaq made that one more trip to the finals the very first year the Lakers traded him and then never went back.
But Mace, I'm with you. I was at that time. I was a Shaq guy, and I don't know if it's the way to say it is, how could you not be? Shaq was the most dominating player in the league. He was obviously winning championships. You had a lot of his teammates that were just they talked about how much they loved Shaquille O'Neal. So I think it was easy to take that route. But I think, you know, John, what you mentioned, Dr. Jerry Buss being the visionary, he had somebody that already accomplished everything, which was Shaquille O'Neal. And then he had somebody else that had something to prove. What Kobe had to prove was, I'm always going to be labeled as the guy that, you know, won it with Shaq. And Kobe, as determined as any sports athlete in history, was trying to prove that, no, I could win it where I'm the best player on this team. That's part of the visionary that you're talking about. And it wasn't the most popular move, right? I mean, I think there were a lot of Laker fans who were like, Dr. Jerry Buss, what are you doing? And then you look back at it now. It's a no-brainer. Like, how easy did he make that eventually look because what the Lakers accomplished?
Yeah, duos like that are interesting because, you know, you think Kobe wanted to win without Shaq. I think that Brady wants to win without Belichick.
Sure.
Anytime there's that sort of duo of connection, two guys that are so good together, I think it's natural to wonder, yeah, but maybe I'm better. Maybe I'm the reason this duo is so successful.
Yeah, and if you could have kept them together, and I don't know if anybody could have, but if you could have kept them together, it would have been fascinating to see how many more finals they would have gone to. Because they had gone to four finals in 5 years. They got beat by Detroit. Had they could have worked out their differences and they brought in different supporting casts, I think they could have had. But, you know, I've said many times to you, Mace, NBA dynasties are pretty much 4 to 5 years.
Right.
If you look at the Chicago Bulls, they had three, then Jordan left, and they had three more. Then you look at the Lakers with Shaq and Kobe, they got three. You look at the Miami Heat, they went to four finals, but they got two. You look at the Warriors, they went to five finals, they got, did they get two or three, the Warriors?
The Warriors got
two, right?
Two, yeah.
Well, they got a two with Durant, and then one before.
And one before, right. And then they lost to LeBron in the other.
So it's really 3 to 5 years, and I think Dr. Buss sensed that. He knew that even when he had Magic in the 80s and he went to nine finals, they won it in 80, they won it in 82, they won it in 85, they won it in 87, and they won it in 88. It's hard to hang on to greatness for a long time. But I would have loved to have seen, had Shaq and Kobe been able to stay together, how many finals they could have gone to.
At least three more.
It's funny, mate, or John, too. Every time they, you know, that interview they had, if you remember, NBA TV did that interview. I'm trying to think on the top of my head what it was, just Shaq and Kobe. You remember they're having that conversation. It was the first time that, you know, they really had like a long dialogue together on national TV. And I remember Kobe saying pretty much when it was all said and done, he's like, I just wanted to win one more than you, you know. And after the championship they won in 2010 against Boston, I think it was asked in his post game, basically the fact that he won one more than Shaq. And he said, what does this one mean to you? And it was something along the lines of, it's one more than Shaq. So it was like this battle when they were together and this battle when they were, you know, separated, but probably drove both of these guys.
But they ultimately really became pretty peaceable about the whole thing. I mean, both of them did conversations. They did interviews together. I mean, whatever axe there was to grind was ultimately buried. Is that an expression? That if you're grinding an axe and then you bury the axe? Am I mixing metaphors there?
They're two different things.
It worked for me.
No. It's bury the hatchet.
Bury the hatchet. Right. Axe to grind, bury the hatchet. Thank you. Thank you, Lynch.
And we've got a couple of messages that the first year Shaq went to Miami, they lost to Detroit in the playoffs. It was the second year in 06 that they won it. The Spurs won it in 05. The Heat won it in 06.
And that was all Wade. No disrespect to Shaq, but that was Dwayne
Wade. No, that was Wade.
One of the most unbelievable finals. Remember, I think they were down 2-0, and then they came back and I think won 4 in a row.
We used to have a guy that worked here named Drew Belzer, who was a big Mavericks fan. And if you bring those finals up to him, the 2006 finals, he will swear till his dying day that the refs were in the tank for Miami. Like, you cannot have a conversation without him saying that the Mavs got screwed on that deal. And there were a lot of questionable calls, but you're right. The Dallas won the first two, and then Miami won 4 in a row.
Thing people don't know about Drew Belzer. Do you remember Drew, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Great tennis player.
I think he teaches.
I think that's what he does now. Mm-hmm. He teaches really, really rich people how to play tennis.
Yeah, you want to see his blood boil? Bring up the 2006 NBA Finals.
How's Lisa's tennis game, by the way?
Well, she should be ready to go to Wimbledon now because she plays every day, twice a day.
Does she? Well, that's so she's in two-a-days.
Oh yeah, yeah. She plays more than any person I've ever met.
Really?
Between my golf and her tennis, we may be the most active family in all of Manhattan Beach.
That's crazy.
Are you guys, I don't know if like is the right word, but are you guys good with your schedule right now doing shows from home, or do you want it to change?
We were talking about that yesterday. Mason asked a question like, have you come to like anything about COVID? And I actually have gotten used to doing the shows from home, particularly, Alan, when I get back from a Laker road trip at like 5 in the morning. Mm-hmm. I would love the option to do it from here. I don't know if that's possible. We may be doing shows from home for the rest of this year. I don't know.
Oh, God, don't say that.
I think it's possible.
Oh, Mace, you want to get back in?
Oh,
not,
yeah.
Not I missed... for me. I've got to go in to do Laker games, so you guys may be at home for the rest of the year.
I miss, you know, the great thing about LA Live is there's always something going on. And I'm always vibing off the crowd, whether they're going to a Kings game or a Clippers game, or they're going to a concert at Microsoft, or they're getting dinner at Katsuya. The movie theaters are right there. The hotel, I hang out in that hotel lobby all the time, drinking coffee and prepping for the show. I mean, I miss that everyday human interaction and sort of that hum of energy that comes with. Plus, I miss all my work friends. Mm-hmm. I don't see any of my work friends.
Yeah, and we all got into that routine too, where, you know, like you're saying, Mace, you know everybody at Starbucks, or you know everybody that's just in the building getting a chance to. I can't tell you the last time, other than going to San Diego, you know, see family and things like that. But for the most part, that's been kind of on the dime dropped. But I got to imagine there's, even if we were going back, like John, you and I will be in there starting a week from Saturday. Just for the, you know, the Lakers broadcast and everything else, I got to imagine LA Live is just a ghost town.
Now, wait a minute. Sliwa, are you going in?
I'll go in for the games as well. Yep.
Oh, wow.
But just, yeah, just that portion, just for Laker broadcast stuff.
Is there anything from COVID, any behaviors that have changed that you would like to keep after this is all over? Like John says, he'd like to do shows from home sometimes.
Oh, yeah. I think the home part is that's kind of a great thing to have. I think for a lot of people, think about how people, I think it was Ramona that was saying her commute, what it is on a, you know, on a game day, something like that. That's kind of nice too, Steve. There's a lot of people where I think their quality of life has improved based upon just that grind of not being in your car or the grind of being at games so super late. But
come on, the monotony of it all.
Well, you want like a balance of it, right? Like you don't want it every
day. I mean,
day.
I drive to Starbucks every day just to get out of the house.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I'm with you just to get out. I went to REI today.
Oh, did you?
Mm-hmm. What'd you get at REI?
Well, I had something I had to take back, and then I easily got looped in. Actually, it was Lindsay that was mentioning her camping trip. I go on an annual camping trip as well, but it was a couple weeks ago.
I should keep my camping trip plans on the DL in case the governor of New York is listening.
Yeah, Cuomo's
sure
big
he is
fan.
Listening.
Yeah. Sliwa, you're a camper 14. Also?
I go maybe once or twice a year, but I love it. I mean, I go to either Sequoia or...
Oh, nice.
Idlewild isn't too far, but it's of course nothing like Sequoia is.
And do you set up a tent and all that stuff, or do you have like a camper?
No, set up a tent.
Wow. Yeah, my friend Sue Kalinske, they've got a camper now. They go around everywhere in a camper. And that's their thing. I've never been a camping guy.
Can I get room service in that camper?
I know John is a huge camper.
John and camping.
John doesn't even want a tent. He just wants a sleeping bag just out there in the wilderness.
I have so little interest in camping. I would go glamping. Do you guys know what that is?
Oh yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, that's kind of what ours has turned into over the years. It started off as like tent camping. It's always been in the same place, and then it turned into these cabins that are like made in the 20s, and they're just one room, and they're just disgusting. But now we've got like a full service cabin with two bedrooms and a shower and a sink and a kitchen and all that stuff. It's great.
Lindsay, you should when you get your food.
By the way, Lindsay, should we not have taken a break 5 minutes ago?
Yeah.
Oh, screw it.
4 minutes ago.
I say screw it.
All right, no breaks, just go.
I'm done.
We can take the break, sorry.
No, let's go to, no, well, you know what we'll do? We'll go to 620 instead of 624 and then just do it.
It's not bad. Double
then we'll
right
have
there.
8 minutes for Alan in between the show.
Excellent idea. Let's try it.
Hey, Mace, I will say this about just kind of, like you mentioned, you'll go out to Starbucks just to get the hell out of the house.
Oh, just to get out.
Let me tell you, there is something about whether you went to Joshua Tree or you went to Big Bear or like
Sequoia. True.
I mean, just getting away for a day or two, just breathing that fresh air. It is, you don't have to stay the night. You don't have to do the whole camping thing if you're not a fan of it. But just getting away and just breathing that fresh air, that is something I feel
like. Well, not camping, but we did that. We took that house in Palm Springs, which was great for a week. Mm. That business is going through the roof, Airbnb and VRBO.
I ran into a friend of mine today who is moving to Palm Springs, and I saw him. I said, when are you moving? He goes, later this week. I said, what's the temperature out there? He goes,
120.
He said yesterday was 119.
Yeah. No, it's crazy.
Can you guys do that weather? I can't do that.
I can do it. In fact, you know, I built my theaters out there during the summertime. They opened in October, so all summer long we were in construction. And I spent a lot of time out there. I actually love the heat. I enjoy it being that hot. I'm alone in that. Most people can't stand it. I totally dig it. I love that heat.
Hey, Sliwa, a few more questions about your camping trip. Do you have a casino near your camp, your tent? Because that would be important for me. With cocktail waitresses.
Yes.
There's one near ours.
Oh, you do have a casino near your camping site?
Yeah, we always have a casino night, and we go, like, it's about a 25-minute drive, but we always go towards the end of the trip because we used to be able to go and be like, oh, air conditioning and TVs and stuff like that because there's nothing in the middle of the wilderness. And so that was, like, our treat.
All right, now here's an important thing, Sliwa, I would need. Mm-hmm. Satellite TV. You got that on the camping trip?
All that is there. By the way, a couple days ago, I think it was
there are people that have satellite dishes on their campers.
You tell Crazy Sue if she puts a satellite on top of that camper, then I'm in. Okay.
How about the towel warmer? Didn't you say you have a towel warmer at home?
Oh yeah. Don't even get started on Ireland and his creature comforts.
When I heard that,
that goes without saying. The campsite better have a towel warmer. I'm out.
Can you imagine, Slee, what a towel amazing. Warmer?
No, I've never even heard of that.
Have you ever been to Ireland's house?
Oh, Slee, well, I'll take a picture of it and send it to you.
That's amazing.
No,
that's amazing.
He lives in an estate. I mean, it is a full-on mansion. I've only been invited. Let's see, I've only been there twice.
Well, you've been invited many times, but you come very rarely.
Yeah, I've been there twice. I'm a little intimidated by the whole thing. Like, I had trouble getting through the gate when I first got there.
My four security guards.
Well, I'm surprised they didn't drug test you, Mace, before you came
in.
Oh,
I would never get in. I would never make it in.
John, you would walk into my studio and you'd say, this is a great laundry room. This is a really nice...
I take my laundry very seriously, Slewa. Yeah, nobody does the laundry around here.
Ireland does all the laundry at his house. Isn't that weird?
Is that right?
My wife tried to do it once and I yelled at her. I said, get out of my laundry room. I'm in charge of the whole thing.
Is that like a therapeutic thing? Like you enjoy doing it?
I do.
Now, John's a bit of a neat freak.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And Lisa is not. It's strange that
you're very OCD when you get right down to it.
Oh, not like even a debate. I'm like ridiculously OCD. I'm like a
how so?
Oh, I go through the same exact routine all the time.
But I mean, like, are you a clean freak? Because I consider myself quite the clean freak.
I would argue that I probably am cleaner than most. Like Mason used to come in and wear the same clothes to the show.
Yeah, I did.
Like 3 months in a row.
Hey, dude, it's radio. Seriously,
I was gonna
it's
say
radio.
Even when you were on TV.
No, TV, I wore a different collared shirt.
The minute we got on TV, it completely flipped.
But look, this year, I started out on the right foot. I wore something different every single day through the first part of 2020. And ultimately, the whole thing got shut down. Now, none of those clothes fit anymore. All the new clothes I bought, none of them fit. I've seriously got a quarantine. I don't know if it's 15, but it's a quarantine 12.
I have a similar problem, except mine, not that they don't fit, but by the time I can wear all the really cool, nice sweaters and stuff that I bought, it's going to be out of season, and so I can't wear them again.
Yeah.
Mace, how much does the weed and donuts have to do with the quarantine 12 or 15?
I'm going to say this much. It ain't helping. It ain't helping. But I'm going to get back. Since I know we've got till Labor Day at least, I'm going to get back to fighting weight. Just gonna have to lay off the donuts.
By the way, that new Karen clip was fantastic.
Oh, is that? Do you know any Karens?
No, I don't think I do. Especially to that level, like those levels, I don't understand these people.
Oh, by the way, Fudge, do you still have the Bruce Smith thing from Family Feud?
Oh yeah, we haven't played that.
Okay. Did you hear about this, Slee? Well, play. This was Bruce Smith on Family Feud over the weekend, and then I want to ask you guys something. Go ahead and hit it.
If Captain Hook was moonlighting as a handyman, he might replace his hook with what tool?
A hammer.
Try again.
A penis.
Tell me the age a kid is too old to sleep with a what the he said?
Yeah, Steve Harvey's reaction.
That's awesome.
Yeah, Steve Harvey's great.
Yeah, everybody's playing that. But here's my question. What is the answer that Bruce Smith should have said? If Captain Hook came back to Earth as a handyman, he would replace his hook with a what? He said hammer. What's the next best answer? It's certainly not penis. I know that. But
penis is well down the list.
Yeah, what is the answer?
So it has to be a tool of some kind.
Screwdriver?
Yeah, I'll go screwdriver.
Saw,
crescent wrench,
axe
is good.
Mace.
No, I don't.
Swinging a mace around.
I don't know. But
why did he say penis?
I mean, he was thinking tool.
Right. I'll say that's the first thing that came to his mind. It's just like first thing that comes to your mind in that situation.
I mean, Steve Harvey's reaction was just priceless.
He's like, you're going to be all over YouTube. No one will ever forget this. That was great.
All right. Well, Sliwa, we gave you a little bonus time today, I think.
Thank you.
Yeah. We'll so what do you got?
Don't let him promote his show because undoubtedly he booked somebody before Lindsay did and that'll be coming on his show tonight and we don't want to know.
Just Kirk Morrison. That's it.
Me and Kirk. Oh. You know what I call tonight? The Kirk Morrison show. When Kirk is on, I mean, he owns the airwaves.
That's it. Let him do his thing. I got to let him do his thing.
Yeah, you just serve him up, and Bruce and Kurt will knock him out of the park.
By the way, I throw him
a question, and then I go eat dinner.
Yes.
In regards to the booking somebody before us, I asked a couple of these guests what's going on, and they said, well, I mean, Sliwa is by himself. He has a lot more time to fill, and, you know, he just...
Wait a minute. Joe Varden said that to you?
No, Joe Varden, I just asked him after.
Right. Right.
But I'm saying in general, that's kind of what the guests
said. Very sympathetic towards a solo show.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's the Kirk Morrison show is next with his chippy pal, Alan Sliwa. We're back tomorrow at 2:55 sharp, Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.